chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like that week in between Christmas where you don't know what day it is just because of the amount of fixtures that have been postponed and rearranged for international fixtures, European games. We're all over the place here at Falkirk Daft, but one thing we do know is we've got our first 3 points on the board and our first win in the top flight in 15 years. We're going to be speaking about that. This is Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I'm John McAnally. I am joined by Ginger Gordon Pod himself, one-man band in the main stand. It is Ross Wayne.
Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Morning. We're recording this.
The sun is shining.
I know.
It's amazing. Yeah. All is right with the world, isn't it?
All is right in the world. Still smiling after Sunday. We're recording this on a Thursday morning. So we'll be going out the day of... you're actually hearing this if you're listening to it on Thursday morning. When it gets the podcast, you could be listening to it any time, let's face the facts. But yeah, Thursday morning, still buzzing after Aberdeen, Ross.
I am, yes. It is a shame that we've not got a game this weekend. I'm not going to lie to you.
You want the momentum, don't you? You just want that momentum to keep going.
You do. The flip side is we have obviously signed a few players just before the window slam shut, as they say, and it will give the boys time to... get to know the rest of their teammates and get a plan of attack for St Mirren at home. But you're right, it is a sort of weird period, like you're saying, in between Christmas and New Year. I'm not a fan of these international breaks. I know a lot of people love going Scotland trips and stuff.
Yeah.
Fair play, but it's just like, I don't mind Scotland games. I like going, but I'd rather, I'm more club than country.
I'm the same.
It's a shame we've not got one, but it is what it is. And the flip side is it does give the new boys, some time to get to know their teammates.
Yeah. I'm desperate just to see Falkirk because I missed the Aberdeen game because I was working yet again.
Of course, yes.
Because this stupid Old Firm was on, which was potentially the worst game of football I've ever watched in my entire life.
So far.
I was stuck in a studio having to watch that, so I couldn't get up to Aberdeen, but obviously caught up with the game tried to watch it while working and also on the radio on the way home. And it just
did you give a shout when we scored? Was there a loud cheer?
I was in the car by that time, but there was a loud cheer going down the M8 as I like punched the steering wheel. And you know that way when you're in the car and if you ever listen to the radio and Falkirk have scored, like, yes!
Whacking the steering wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And obviously, we'll talk about Carell's goal in just a bit. But first of all, got to say thank you very much to our episode sponsor. Remember, if you want to sponsor an episode, like, we obviously have our headline sponsors and Behind the Wall and Falkirk Football Fans and Training. But if you do want to sponsor an episode, we're very reasonable. We're very cheap, I would say, Ross.
We are, yes. Not in the sexual sense, but...
You could be reaching over a couple of thousand bairns every single week if you want to sponsor one of our episodes, if you're a local business out there. And we've got to say, one of the local businesses getting behind the podcast this season is Furry Bairns. Now, you'll see Furry Bairns, the adverts right in the corner. They've got a couple of adverts around the stadium, but the big one right in the corner next to the floodlights.
It's cool, isn't it?
It's brilliant. And it's a massive Falkirk supporter that runs Furry Bairns. It's Rab Mullen. Now, Rab is an absolute superstar. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people who listen to this will know exactly who Rab is. Are we allowed to give away his superhero kind of persona?
I think we can.
Rab, for many a year, was Fergus the Fox. The cat's out of the bag now. The cat's out of the bag. I hope there's no kids listening to this podcast. Spoil the imagery of bold Fergus. But Rab was Fergus, and he's been a supporting club since 1980. I didn't know this about Rab, though. He was one of the boot boys at Brockville.
I remember him telling me this once, and he because I think he helped out the kit man and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, and as he's told us, some amazing players he would clean the boots for.
Yeah, Jordy Watson, Andy Nicol, Wilson Hogan, John Perry, Bomber Brown, Alan Macken, and a very young Crunchy as well. There you go.
Brilliant. Amazing. Listen, that's the wee things you kids will never get to do that now, because it's just, well, I get it, right? We're a professional team, we're in the Premier League and stuff, but like, how amazing would it be if you were like in the Junior Bairns and you got to go in and like help the kit man or something like that?
Yeah, incredible. But listen, Furry Bairns, let's talk about Rab's business. Furry Bairns, it's down on Crown Sloane, Stennismuir. It's in a little estate next to the Asda, back of the Asda. You just need to come in from the other side, past Larbert East Church and down to the left, and it's in a wee industrial estate there. Been in there because my dog groomer is next door to it, so the dog groomer has this thing of, like, she takes the dogs in to get a wee treat off Furry Bairns.
Nice.
And it's a great shop, absolutely brilliant, and they specialise in dog treats, and they've got their own range of Falkirk memorabilia and stuff for the dogs as well. So it's like, if you check out the website, furrybairnstreats.com, they have natural dog, they're basically all about natural dog treats. And if you've got a dog, as many of us do, get yourself along there. And Falkirk season ticket holders get a 15% discount on purchases over £10 from the core range of natural dog treats, supplements and accessories. So get yourself down there with your season ticket, check out the Falkirk FC doggy items while you're in there as well, and get that 15% discount for your dog. And do you know what they're doing, Ross? They're having their very first dog fair and dog show in the concourse of the Kevin McAllister stand. That is going to be brilliant.
I need to go down with Milo. Are you going to go down as well?
I would get Barney down to that. Though, he's just captain of chaos, my big Labrador. He's a massive big Labrador, and he just is a menace to society. But we should get down there with the dogs. Sunday the 14th of September, it's happening 1 to 4 at the Ken McAllister stand. Free entry, free parking, and of course dogs are welcome, so get yourself down there. If you want to enter your dog into the Fun Dog Show, it's only £2.50. I don't know what the Fun Dog Show is, but I feel a Falkirk Daft challenge, Milo against Barney, coming up.
I think, knowing the size of the two dogs, I think you're going to win that.
Well, if it's cute, if it's on the cute scale, Milo's going to beat Barney, isn't he?
Maybe. Look, he takes after his dad.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right. Okay, well, listen, if that interests you, check out furrybairnstreats.com and you'll get them on Facebook as well. And get yourself down in the stand Sunday the 14th of September, 1 to 4. And thanks to Rab for supporting the podcast. Really appreciate that, mate. Thank you so much. Birthday corner, let's launch into this. Like you say, we're all over the place with this podcast at the moment, whether we're reviewing, previewing, what's going on. But there's loads of birthdays this week, Ross.
Yes, there is. A ton was sent in, which is amazing, by the way. We love to get them over. So we've got a message here. Can you give a big birthday mention to my son Logan Neary? He is 10 on the 3rd of September, which, as we're recording, was yesterday. So hope he had an amazing day. And that's love from all the family. Have a fantastic day. And that's from Graham Neary.
Next one, I've got to hold my hands up. I was down at the stadium picking up my, you know, the and by the way, the back-to-back champions books are in the stadium now. Champions again all the way away. Shout out to Pablo Paul Robertson for putting that
brilliant
all together.
Reads. Brilliant reads.
Picked it up at the stadium. It is a brilliant book. If you've not got your copy yet, get down. They'll be available to collection, but there are obviously on sale in the stadium supporter shop as well. Amazing. Brilliant book. Yeah. Had a great read of it. Obviously, we've got the Falkirk Daft and the ingredients to the Falkirk Daft Venom are on there as well. But it's really a sensational book. It's just a great, you know, that coffee table book that you have. I've got mine's with my Invincible book and the Champions Again All the Way Away book. And shout out to Pablo, he put so much work into it. And like, he's doing it for the benefit of the club. We're actually going to have a signed copy to give away at our next Falkirk Daft live event as well, which we're going to do for charity. A bit more information on that as we get it. But yeah, I was down picking up the book, and this next birthday is for Andrew Haxton, who I bumped into at the stadium when I was picking up my book. I said, "Oh, happy birthday, mate." It's like, how did you know that? I was like, "Oh no, I've just spoiled the surprise." So it's actually, as we record this birthday, Alex, Andrew's dad, got in touch with us and says, his birthday today on day of recording. So thank you. Happy birthday to Andy. That's from your dad and all the family. Andy was up at Aberdeen. He was when I bumped into him, he was decided to go up to Aberdeen the whim, and he was there on Sunday as well. So happy birthday, Andy! And if you've not checked out his banner, I'll keep talking about it. Parley Ammo, Andy's a brilliant drummer. He drums in a band full of St Johnstone supporters. They played Behind the Wall, and I think they'll be very close to getting a record deal as well because they're so good. So shout out to Andy. Happy birthday, mate. And that's from Alex and the rest of the fam.
Indeed. We've got a message from Ian Ballantyne. Hi, guys. Can you wish my wife, Alison Ballantyne, a happy birthday? And that was on Tuesday, the 2nd of September.
We're well behind here, aren't we?
We are a little bit, but we've not had a podcast.
Well, happy birthday, Alison. Graham's got in touch as well and says, I wonder if you get a birthday shout out from my wife, Keller McNabb. It's her birthday on Tuesday, just gone as well. She's the mum of Holly, who was the face of the armband at last year's Air United game. Which is in the
Champions. Remember Holly, she was so excited. Do you remember she was like so excited?
One of my all time favourite armband giveaways. You'll see that in the Champions book as well. And that's obviously from Graham, Holly, and Bella.
Amazing. Happy 44th birthday to a massive Falkirk fan, Falkirk legend, Andy Hutton. It was his birthday on the 1st. And that's from me, you, and all of the usual suspects, Andy.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, Andy. Happy birthday to Jay Morrison, whose birthday was on the 27th August. God, we're well behind here. Hope you had a great day from your dad, Stephen, a.k.a. Chunky Monkey. It's turning into the panto, this section now, isn't it?
Just throw some sweets at the screen. shout out to Jay and Stephen actually are in hospitality with me on the 4th of now 5th of October against Rangers.
There's a surprise. You in hospitality, are you?
No, but listen, we are the three token Falkirk fans at a table full of Rangers fans, and I'm hoping it's a good Falkirk day that day. David Cochran got in touch. He says, hi Ross, can you do a massive birthday shout out for Jack Cochran next week as he reaches the big 30? Now, for those that don't know, Jack was the former stadium announcer along with Dave Mack, but he now has to watch the games, sadly, from his
He has a really hard life, does our Jack.
He has a really hard life.
Sitting in Miami watching Falkirk games, so God almighty.
And that's love, lots of love for your mum, dad and sister, Isla. All the best from your dad, David.
And finally, God, it's a busy day. There's been a lot of sex had at the end, tail end of the year because we've got a lot of birthdays today. Jeez,
well,
God,
look at the timing. This is Christmas, New Year.
No, all right, enough. This must be the Christmas babies. This must be like the once a year kind of Christmas babies.
That's
at
it. Yeah. There's nothing on the telly. Telly shite. Let's go.
Aye. So this is from Anonymous. Can you give a shout on Birthday Corner on your next corner? It's from Mr. Blake Clarkson on his 35th birthday, which was the 28th of August. And that's from everyone in the Jimmy Gilmore shuttle. We hope you got a nice new pair of three-quarter length shorts. And we got 3 points in Aberdeen. Of course we did. So that was a great birthday present for you, Blake. And he shares his birthday with none other than Fareed El Al Ghouli. There you go. Oh, I've not done this week. I've not researched the birthdays for this.
Where's birthdays?
I've not researched the birthdays. We'll just skip it this week. But anyway, we've got Fareed's birthdays happened then. So happy birthday, big Fareed, as well. And the magic coin.
And the thumb. Remember he had this weird shaped thumb?
Did
you ever notice that? He used to do like a thumbs up celebration, right? And his thumb was like broken at some point. So it like bent. You need to have a look, honestly. His thumb was weird.
Fareed's thumb. I'm definitely have a look at that. I did not notice that. I wonder what Fareed's doing. He'd be a great one to get on, you know, Falkirk Daft Live. I'm assuming he's not kicking about the UK anymore.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
He'd be a good one, wouldn't he? He'd be a good one to get on.
Yeah, no, he would be, actually. I know he wasn't with us long, but he was like a one-season wonder. Really,
cult hero.
Cult hero, yeah. Although he did ruin it slightly by moving to the filth. But...
Yeah, we'll forget about that. But brilliant. So happy birthday, Fareed, as well. Right, let's get into it then. Before we get to the Aberdeen game, let's talk about new signings. Ross was not off of the group chat, the Falkirk Daft Twitter, eyeball emoji, pestering the admin. It's been a week of just Ross pestering people and leaking gossip, and he's had his finger on the pulse throughout it. I don't know, and on Ross's behalf, I'd like to apologise to all the people he was messaging trying to get the gossip for Falkirk Daft, because I can imagine there's a lot of people out there, because Ross going, heard anything, what's happening, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, the worst attempt, and I don't think you'll mind me sharing this, the worst attempt at trying to find something out was... Do you remember, maybe about a week to 10 days ago, I was passing the stadium at pitch black at night, and I took some photos of the main stand with the new lights at either end, right? So when I put them on, Ian Sneddon had messaged me saying, "Oh, this next time I'm at the stadium, I'm going to get a like a proper HD shot of the stadium,
Yeah,
right? Monday night, deadline night." I messaged saying, "See, while you're at the stadium tonight, why
yeah.
don't you get your pictures of the stadium?" And he just replies saying, "That is the worst fishing attempt ever to find out where I am."
Brilliant, brilliant,
Yeah.
brilliant. But like there was obviously a bit of, you could see after the Livingston game, everyone's just crawling for new signs, and the closer it got to deadlines, like when are they coming? When are they coming? When are they coming? And then
Yeah.
it was like a flurry. The admin wasn't it off of that Twitter,
No.
and we've got a flurry since the first one in the door. We'll go in reverse order. So was obviously our goal scorer from Sunday. It was Kyrell Wilson, who joined
Yes.
us on loan from Swansea City, 20 years old, winger. He featured in the under 21 setup at Swansea. Was on loan at Yeovil Town last season. Reached out to actually a Swansea podcast to see if we'd get much info on him, but we didn't hear back from him. But certainly look at the Swansea Twitter, Ross, very, very highly rated player.
He was very complimentary about him as well. I messaged a Swansea fan who I know because I ended up working down there about 10 years ago for about 6 months on and off. And his opinion was that we've got a right good player coming up to us. He fully expects him to go back to Swansea at some point and be a first team player. So he's not here just to make up the numbers or to wind down his Swansea career. So I'm really excited by him. Like, even as you saw him chasing down that Aberdeen fullback within seconds of coming on, John. The boy has got speed to burn.
Oh, he looks like he's got pace to burn, doesn't he?
He does, and his touch looked good on Sunday as well. And obviously he took the goal, which I know dissect a bit better later, but he took his goal so well. He just looks and feels and sounds like a wee excitable guy, and I can't wait to see what else he can do.
Yeah, and I think again, I don't think we'll argue it. It's the first Kyrell that will ever played for Falkirk,
I assume so. Yes,
and
I
another
assume so.
first that is. The first Trey to play for Falkirk, I believe, Trey Samuel Ogunsue, who joined us on loan from Sunderland. Now, he's an 18-year-old striker. Probably something we've been looking for is someone that's going to get behind with pace. You know, we've got
Yes.
Brian there, we've got obviously Ross, we know what attributes they have. Gary is obviously functions more of as a false nine. This is a very different kind of forward and one that we've probably not had the option on in on a good few years. You know, he's described as the dynamic and versatile, and certainly he scored for goals for fun in the under-18s at Sunderland and the under-21s. In fact, I believe there was a lot of bigger sort of Premiership clubs looking at him, and then he committed to Sunderland, Ross.
He did. So I got an update. So I work beside a Sunderland season ticket holder. He goes to a lot of the away games. He goes to a lot of the Premier League Two games, which Trey is featured in. And when I asked him for his opinion, he literally said to me, "Mate, you've got a goal scorer here." I
Really?
watched him the other week in the under 21s and he scored a hat trick as well. Now, I believe that game where he scored a hat trick, John McGlynn was actually there watching him. So that is not going to have done his career any
Yeah.
harm at all, because John being able to see that live and the three goals he scored. I know I shared the link in our group chat, but the three goals he scored were all really, really well taken goals, chasing down defenders, getting the ball off them. So I'm just really excited by him as well. He's
Yeah.
obviously a young lad, but he does seem to have a big bit of height about him. He's huge, good bit of pace, physical. And again, I believe Liverpool were sniffing about him for their Premier League Two team,
Yep.
with a view, I suppose, to a longer career at Liverpool as well. But Sunderland managed to tie him down, so huge for them, huge for us, really, because I don't think we would have got him had he moved to Liverpool.
Yeah, no, 100%. And certainly looking at what the Sunderland supporters did say about him on top of your rates, I think the view was that he probably would have broken into the first team if they'd still been in the Championship this season. Because certainly looking at there's a lot of promise for this young guy. Right, let's move on to the next one then. It's another loan signing, and this is the one that I think a lot of Falkirk supporters, I know Man United are shite at the moment, but a lot of Falkirk supporters are very excited, and we spoke to Jamie about, you know, big Premiership clubs. And like Man United, obviously one of the biggest clubs in the world, if not the biggest club in the world. And we've just signed a player from Man United. When was the last time we had someone from Man United on loan? And we obviously had that connect with Arsenal, you know, when we got like to Paddy Craig, Stephen O'Donnell, Anthony Stokes. But to go to Man United and get, you know, this player over the line, Ethan Williams, who actually went on tour with Man United in the preseason and scored when they were doing the tour of America. Yeah. Another winger, which again, we talked about Ethan Williams seems to be another winger as well, which is going to really, really help with obviously Ethan Ross's injury. Yep. And John's always said he likes to play with, you know, have those four wingers. We're going to have five now effectively once Ethan comes back.
Well, once Ethan comes back, you're going to have five, but that's obviously a few months now by the sounds of John's update at the weekend, unfortunately. So it does give us loads of options there, though. So as you said, Kyrell, Calvin, Alfie, and now Ethan. As soon as that teaser came through, and we were on the bus at the time, and the teaser came through, and you're thinking, right, okay, because we knew in the back of our minds, we thought we were going to have a Man U player coming because John had said it, and I think that's a brilliant addition. I really do. Obviously, he wasn't signed in time to play on Sunday. Brilliant to see that he travelled up with the team, though. So that'll be him getting to know the players already. The team, I believe, stayed over in the outskirts of Aberdeen on Saturday night. So they got a good sort of bit of bonding there with the new guys as well. I'm really excited to see him. I think he'll start. I think he'll be a starter. And it might feel really sore on Calvin, probably more so than Alfie, because Alfie's not been a starter every game.
Do you think he'll start instead of Calvin rather than as opposed to the left wing?
I think Ethan Williams and Kyrell Wilson will be the two wingers that start against them.
Do you? I mean, I've heard a few people thinking that Calvin's just dropped off a wee bit of form and stuff, but I mean, his numbers have been so good for so long. You'd have to be a big call.
It would be. No, listen, it might not happen. It might be Calvin's space to lose, right? And let's face it, the Williams or Wilson would be phenomenal to bring off the bench. Maybe it is. Maybe it is Calvin's place to lose. I don't agree that Calvin's dropped off. I know it's a tougher league we're in. He's not going to have as much. He's not going to beat as many men as he used to do in the Championship. He's not going to score as many goals as he did in the Championship. But I think he's still been a really consistent performer. Like I saw in the you probably saw it as well in the Terrace podcast the other day there, that they were very critical of Calvin and Ethan Ross actually, and I felt I'm gonna reply here. I did reply my own
by the way. I was tempted to reply. I listened to that podcast. Don't know if any other Falkirk supporters listen to Terrace podcast. It makes Craig Telfer sound like a Falkirk supporter. Craig's but we know Craig, we had Craig at the last event. He's a big Stennis Muir supporter, but he was always very complimentary about Falkirk. Those two, both Craig Fowler and Craig, I've spoke to Craig in the past, Craig Fowler, like they were so disparaging about Falkirk and what we did. Try to claim that Nicky Devlin, and we'll get into the Nicky Devlin sending off, it wasn't a red card. How you can watch that back and think that's not a red card is unbelievable.
Exactly. I can understand in real time having that opinion, but when you get to see it back and back a few times, I don't get it. But listen, I would say, unlike Craig and Sean for that matter, I think they're probably just not as educated on Falkirk and the Falkirk squad. But then that's on them to do their research. And listen, if in a month's time when Falkirk play, 3 weeks' time when Falkirk play Hearts, if that's how they see Falkirk, let's prove them wrong at Tynecastle.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely 100%.
But no, I think Ethan Williams will be a massive, massive player for us. He's got a bit about him. Man U fans are very hopeful for him as a young lad as well, which again, for me, always speaks volumes, because if they were happy to see him go, then that's not always ideal. But listen, different levels. Man U and Falkirk are different spectrum.
Yeah, 100%. A lot of Man United supporters were, you know, like hopeful of enjoying. I saw a few disparaging comments saying, "What is a Falkirk?" And I saw a few replies. Though I'm looking at the Man United Twitter just now, and I have to say, shout out to Kyle Walker, who messaged on the Man United Twitter, "Welcome to the most successful team in Challenge Cup history."
Good shout. It's factual. It's factual.
It's true. There's no argument against it, but
Yeah,
yeah,
we
good
welcome the chase.
to see. But no, it's cracked, really, really good. I'm really excited about seeing him, and I do think, if you sign someone from Man United, he's coming with a lot of promise, and I suspect, like you say, there'll be a promise of him getting a lot of game time as well. I'll
I
be
agree.
interested to
He's not
see.
coming up here to sit on the bench.
No. So, yeah, interested to see what Ethan does. And then we've now someone pointed out, it was our friend Fraser saying, we've got more Ethans in the teams than Garys. It's a sad day. We're in 2025. You know what I mean?
Gary is a dying name though, isn't it?
Gary is that we're still holding on to Mr. Oliver, though, so that's fine. So that was kind of three players that came in at the weekend, and then we got closer to deadline day, and we got another two tap the sign in the door. Philippe Lissa has joined us, another one from Swansea. It seems like we're almost reconnecting with Swansea. We had that period where we just sold players to Swansea willy-nilly. So
Yeah,
we've
we
got,
did. There
I
was
don't know
a.
if there's been a connect. Obviously, Alan's come in as the chief scout now, and wonder if he's re-established that connection with Swansea. It's interesting because we've got Philippe Lissa in from Swansea, 20-year-old defender, made his way through the academy at Chelsea, and then he's been playing with the under 21s. Adaptable defender, so that's interesting. That word's whether he's a centre half or can play anywhere across the back line will be interesting
Yep.
to see. But yeah, probably an area as well that we're looking to kind of have a bit more backup in with obviously the injuries to Tom and Cole.
Yeah, the defensive position was still a worry because obviously we'd fulfilled three signings in an attacking nature, which was needed. But we were desperately short of additional cover, especially with the way the injuries are just now. Again, my Swansea contact had nothing but praise for him in terms of what he's seen so far. Again, there's an expectation on this lad that he will come back to Swansea at some point, and push for a first team place. He's obviously at an age where he could be playing for Swansea now, really, but he has had a couple of injuries in recent seasons, which has probably hampered him a bit. And again, I think he has come up, John, to play football. So I'm not saying he's going to be a guaranteed starter, but I would be shocked if he's not pushing for a starting
Yeah,
position soon.
so you think Nielsen's the one that'll come under pressure then?
Well, we have a weird situation coming up where we could have Nielsen playing the next couple of games and then not be allowed to play against Hearts. Sorry, he won't be playing against Hearts
Yeah,
because he's
well,
not
yeah.
allowed to play against Hearts. So does John therefore bring this lad in with a view? And I know you shouldn't really, you should play each game as it comes, and I'm sure John does do that. However, he will have one eye on that trip to Tynecastle. Would he put in a player who's never played in the defence with the other boys? Not convinced.
He
I'm
might
not
get him in.
convinced.
He might bed him in. He might bed him in. We'll wait and see. So Philip Lisa, the next one, and then finally, even after the transfer deadline window had slammed shut, because it always slams. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't get gently closed. It always slams shut. We got another one into the door on loan. Sam Hart from Port Vale, 28-year-old. So we brought in a lot of young guys. So it was nice to see a bit of experience coming in through the door. He started at Man United's youth setup before moving to Liverpool. So that's no bad on the CV. Appeared for several clubs like Blackburn again, Southend United, Shrewsbury, Oldham, Sutton United, all big clubs, and a left back, Ross.
Yes, again, I think he can play left centre half as well.
Right.
But yeah, he probably is more comfortable at left back. It is a position where, in theory, we are fully stocked because you've got Leon there, you've got Sean there. Does it suggest that Sean Mackey could be going out on loan? I don't know. I think we need a big squad in this league. So if we don't have to get rid of anyone, I don't know if I would. But then the trouble John's then got is he's probably going to have about seven or eight players who don't even make the starting squad. Sorry, the match day squad,
Yeah,
never mind the starting 11.
especially when we
So,
get back up to full strength. When you think of likes of Barney, Cole, Tom,
yep.
Finn.
Absolutely. There's huge players that for Falkirk still to come back. I don't think this boy will be a starter. I wouldn't be moving Leon out of
Yeah,
position
Leon
anytime
has
soon.
started the t he started the season fine,
It
but we know
has.
that again. We know John likes that physicality, he likes that, and especially in this league. But I think Leon has shone so far.
Leon has been hold more than holding his own,
Yeah.
and like Dylan Tate, he has made the step up like massively. Just went
Yes,
like,
100%.
fuck this,
100%.
I'm making this position mine, and Dylan's done exactly the same.
I tell you what, he's a handsome bastard. We must have the most handsome team in the division.
I did see that.
He's a
I
handsome
saw
big bastard, this guy. Jesus
there was a
Christ.
lot of Port Vale fans saying, "Oh, my missus won't be happy."
I mean, you look at big hit, obviously Tom Worldie, and then you've got like Henry Cartwright, Sam Hart, Kyrell Wilson, Ethan. Oh, handsome boys, handsome
Cartwright,
boys.
he was another one. He was
Cartwright.
phenomenal on
Yep.
Sunday.
We'll talk
Absolutely
about him.
phenomenal.
I'm definitely wanting to have a good discussion. So that's it. Loads in the door. We don't know. Maybe like Ross suggests, there might be some. There might be just because the squad's now pretty much 31 and 32 players. I think it's.
Something like that.
Yeah,
You would
so
fully expect the development players to be going out as early as
yeah,
I wouldn't.
expect the development players to be going out. I would wonder if Barney get. I would like to see. Now we've obviously brought this guy in. I would like to see Barney getting game time, but obviously the loan closes at September, so like whether we can, whether Barney can get out and potentially get
Might not
fit.
be. I don't think he'll be back by the end of the loan window. That's another thing.
So that'll be close. So maybe be till January because Barney's obviously one that we very raw, and John McGlynn's describing as very raw. But we've seen that what potential Barney's got, and you'd like to see him go and getting game time, maybe at an Airdrie, something like that in the championship, and seeing what he can do.
It's a tough one with Barney because
Same with Finn as well.
I'm a huge fan of Barney, and I would love to see him in our match day squad. I'll caveat that because I think he is so raw that is he going to be a starter in the Premiership? I'm not convinced yet. However, I would rather have him as an option off the bench. So for me, I'd probably like to see him stay, but it's a tough one. John's got such a difficult few weeks ahead, but it's an exciting few weeks ahead as
Yeah,
well.
no, exactly. So really excited to see all these new players in the navy blue. Obviously we get our first chance to get a glimpse of all of them probably at St Mirren, either on the starting 11 or off the bench as well. So be interested seeing. So yeah, great to see you. And obviously new players means new songs. Alex, the return of the F Factor. Yes,
Yes.
it's back. Like, I mean, this is usually the time the X Factor used to start, wasn't it? Around, this time when they were up to Christmas.
Yeah. As you know, I was a massive X Factor fan.
So, I like that. So we'll start off with our F Factor winner from last year, Tyler Crowe, who's been in touch. I don't know if I can read this one out, Tyler. I'll be honest with you.
You want me to sing it?
You sing this one, Ross,
I
because
actually
I'm
thought
not
this
getting
was awesome.
cancelled. I'm not getting cancelled.
If I didn't have Amelia with me on Sunday, I would have been chanting this at the game.
Was
I'm
right.
saying that if I didn't have Amelia with me, I would have been chanting this at the game. So Tyler did get in touch, and I think this is about this is for Trey, our new signing. So it's for those that know the tune anyway, you'll know it as soon as I start singing it. But chips, cheese, and pussy, he's Trey Ogunsuwe. Chips, cheese, and pussy, he's Trey Ogunsuwe.
Shocking, shocking,
As
absolutely. That's from our F Factor winner from last year, so you need to do better. I think because we're talking about our next live event, we do the F Factor. We'll keep this going over the next few months, just and then we'll have the F Factor final at our next Falkirk Daft Live. So Kenny Munro's come in. We know the bold Kenny, the old trio advert. I mean, people of a certain vintage will remember the trio. Trio, which is obviously based on AODEO. Anyway, so he's going for Trey. She's going Treo, Treo. We want Trey one. We want him now. Not one, not two, but three goals from him. We want Trey one. We want him now.
That's a good effort. That is
Decent,
an effort.
decent.
And it is.
And this
And
is
then.
finally. I don't know if you know this one. You should be aware of this one, but my brother David said, "Oh, you seen all the chat about all these new songs for players?" And I said, "I've got one." I said, "All right, okay, what is it?" He says, "So for Philip Lisa, he's went for the tune of Ebenezer's Good, The Shaman, of course. And he's went for Lisa's Good, Lisa's Good. Oh, he's Philip Lisa's Good. There you go. I like it.
No, I like that one as
It's
well.
good. It's
Yeah.
basic. I like it. I like it. Lisa's Good, Lisa's Good.
Just
Oh."
when we're talking about songs, we have to talk about the Ultras on Sunday with Alfie's new song. I take it you've seen the videos as
I've
well,
seen
haven't
the
you?
video yet.
Absolutely phenomenal. Not, I see from social media, not everyone is a fan, but it is very, very
We
catchy.
all dream of a team of Aggie-mans. I remember singing that for like we all dream of a team of Latapy. I can remember singing that.
Do you know, I remember it being sung before. I couldn't have
Number
told you the
one is
player.
Latapy. Number two is Latapy. Number three
I
is
thought it was
Latapy.
David Moss. I had David Moss in my head.
Maybe we've done it for a couple. I just remember
Maybe,
when we were over in
yeah.
Prague at the playing by the
But
beach, just in a nightclub singing that.
that spread across the away end on Sunday. And yeah, it was really good. It was
We all
funny.
dream of a team of Aggie-mans. What a team that would be. It'd be absolutely wild.
Fucking chaos,
Chaos.
John.
The world would implode with a team of Aggie-mans. Unbelievable. So yes, that's signings, the F factor back, and let's move on to the club news now. Before we get to the game, we'll get there eventually, ladies and gents. Falkirk, the couple of fixture amendments. We always knew it was going to happen. The Rangers are away, so obviously the game will get moved to Sunday. So it was meant to be Saturday, the 4th of October. It's been moved to the Sunday, obviously. And Ross is gutted because he's in hospitality that day. He picked a Rangers game and he knew it was going to be a Sunday, which is a
Oh,
nightmare
listen,
because
I'm all right with this because
you're
the
all right with
kickoff
it.
is a decent. I'm all right with it because the kickoff time is a decent time. See if it
Yeah.
had been like 12 noon or something, that'd have been shit. But 3 o'clock on a Sunday, we just pretend it's a Saturday, and it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be fine.
Yeah, and the rearranged game against Hibs just confirmed as well will be on the 23rd of September. That's the Tuesday night. That's a 7:45 kickoff.
Yes. So that again, happy with that. It gets the fixture played sooner rather than
Yeah.
later. So two home games this month and two away. Happy with that.
Yeah, great. That'll be smashing. Yeah, and looking forward to. I'm gonna have to work out what I'm gonna do for the Hibs game because I will have to try and take that off or get someone to cover my shift. We'll work that out as we go. New third goalkeeper top, and I love it. I'd never buy a goalkeeper top. I wish I'd bought that black top that we had. Was it this season? Was last season we had the black goalkeeper
No,
top?
it wasn't last season, it was the League One season we
Yeah.
had it.
Yeah, I wish I'd bought that, but I'd missed out on it. But I love this third goalkeeper top. It's the old school Tony Parks. They've went back to that. They're going retro yet again with the yellow and the grey. And obviously, Nicky and Scott both wore it on Sunday there.
It looks far better in the flesh than it did in the initial photo. I know when I bumped into Ian Stedden, actually, he did say it does look more sort of yellow and white in his photos. But when you saw it on Sunday, John, it is just like the Tony Parks version from the 90s. So it's a like a silvery grey in the yellow. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I'm like you, I like it.
That's cracker.
I don't wear shirts anymore, really, but it is a really cracking top. And I'm sure again it'll be another big seller.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's cracker. And the Barons Business Cup are getting an event on Friday, the 12th of September. It's the Brockville Bar, and it's all about leadership, which I'm going to get along to it because I'm currently doing a leadership course at work, so I can mark this off as homework because I need to get lots of homework. So I figure I can be working because I have to do it on the job, so I can put it, mark it down as work. And I don't have to take a day off. Captain Call is going to be there, the gaffer, and Invincible's captain himself, Mr. Steve McGinn. They're going to be talking about leadership. Great opportunity to get down if you're a local business, sole trader, or freelancer to network. And Ross, I know you remember the Barons Business Club and a big fan.
Yeah, I think these events are phenomenal. I'm a big advocate of the Barons Business Club. They've brought an awful lot of money into the football club over the last few years and some really big projects as well. I won't be able to make that day, so really interested to hear if they've got a project in mind they're supporting a football club with this year. I know there is loads that they always want to do like a project, like making something better
Yeah.
or like they've I remember either last year or the year before. It doesn't sound like a big thing, but they brought all of the club's laundry facilities and paid for that and refurbished a
Remember
laundry area,
that,
which meant the club didn't have to go and outsource all that. So stuff, things like that, they like to work a project on. So huge fan of the Barons Business Club. And if you can get along, please do get along and register.
yeah, you can do like a 1 minute pitch as well to all the businesses. So if you are a local business, you can pitch. Maybe I should pitch Falkirk Daft to all the local businesses.
Well, I was just about to say, if you're taking a minute, do 30 seconds for the day job and 30 seconds for the podcast.
Great idea. Brilliant. Sell that to my bosses. If you want to buy adverts on Radio Clyde, come to me. I'll speak to you about that. If you want to buy, forget the Radio Clyde, come buy adverts at Falkirk Daft. And also, the Falkirk Academy and Falkirk Sports Society have put out a message today. They're looking for an academy match day host. So I'm assuming this is looking after the kids and stuff for before they kind of do the mascots and stuff like that. But basically, it's a basically meeting and greeting the opposition teams, match officials, and helping with access for spectators, and generally making sure everyone feels welcome and looked after. Tony Begg is the person you want to get in touch with. So that's like a match day host for the Falkirk Academy. You can drop
Very good.
Tony a message if you're interested in that. Tony.begg@falkirkfc.co.uk, and that came through the Falkirk Supporters Society. There we go. I think that's all the news, but before we get into the game, let's say thank you very much to Brian Flynn and everyone at Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. The Falkirk Daft Venom. As I say, you can get the recipe if you get the Olay Champions Again Olay Olay book. But the best thing you do is sample it yourself at Behind the Wall. It's on the cocktail menu, the Falkirk Daft Venom, and it is a cracker. If you like a venom, and in a couple of those, and you will be hootered. But yeah, obviously drink responsibly. But you know they have the Falkirk's best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft, and cask ales, as we all know and love, and brilliant food at Behind the Wall as well, along with brilliant events on this Friday, no, Friday the 12th, which is the same day as the Bairns Business Club. Blondie Tribute, Sunday Girl are in there. What's your favourite Blondie song, Ross?
I'm struggling here.
Jesus Christ, your music knowledge is terrible.
Listen,
Terrible.
no, listen,
Heart
I
of
know
Glass,
if they're all,
Atomic,
if oh
Rapture.
no, Atomic has to be
There
Atomic. That's a
you
belter because that
go.
always reminds me of Trainspotting as well.
There
And
you go.
but no, I had if you asked me to rhyme off like loads of I'd struggle.
You're honestly,
I'm
your
not a
music,
music
like
guy.
Falkirk knowledge is brilliant, but your music knowledge is
No,
terrible.
listen, see if you'd asked me Oasis or Stereophonics,
Brilliant.
I'd
Just
I know.
that's it. You're fine with
Yeah,
that.
otherwise I'm fucked.
Well, and if Ross will be down there, I'm sure the Punk Night, the Class of 79, he'll be down there Saturday the 13th of September. He'll have his mohawk on the go. He'll have a drawn pin through his nose, but there'll be some well-kent Falkirk faces at that. I'm very
I'm
much. What's your
sure there
favourite
will.
punk song, Ross?
You're putting me on the spot here again, aren't you? Dick. No, it's not my genre either, buddy.
Yeah, oh,
If I'm
brilliant. There we go. It's,
no.
if it's not Stereophonics, Oasis, and I'll probably say Ocean Colour Scene, Ross doesn't care.
Yeah, I don't know or care. Or Verve. Yeah, I'm on a wee
Oh, the
that
Verve, you've thrown the Verve in the mix as well. There you go. But that'll be a cracking night as well. And of course, the Scotland game. There's no football on this weekend, but get down behind the wall for the Scotland game. Kick off against Denmark. They'll have it on the screens down in the bar where you can get a Falkirk Daft Venom. And other one that's coming up is Kim Carney will be in Behind the Wall. And that, by the way, I was like, oh my God, they've got Kim Car Carney, but it's not Kim Carnes. Do you know who Kim Carnes is, Ross?
No.
Have you heard the song Bette Davis Eyes?
Yes.
That's who Kim Carnes is.
Right, okay.
There you go. But
Yeah.
what it's not, it's the bold Kim Carney, who's you can also hear on Spotify as well. And she's going to be in there on September the 19th. And not to be confused with Kim Carnes, who did Bette Davis Eyes. There you go.
Right.
You've learned something today,
I
Ross.
have
You've
learned something new. I
been
have.
musically educated today. Your homework for next week is to go and listen to Blondie and pick out your favourite punk song, okay?
Right, okay. I'll come
Right.
back with them. I'll come back with
Brilliant.
them.
There we go. Right. Okay. Well, we can talk about the Aberdeen game now. God, it's been.
Let's do it. We're
Let's
only
get to that,
45
will
minutes
we?
in.
Let's get to that. Falkirk versus Aberdeen at Pittodrie. Like you say, first time we've been back there in 15 years. Unbelievable.
And my
Absolutely.
first ever win at Pittodrie.
Is that right? Because
Never
I was
seen us
looking
win
at
at
the
Pittodrie.
stats. So going in before this game, the last time we actually won there was 2010. So it was the season pretty much that we went out the league. Colin
Yeah.
Healy scored.
There was, and I remember watching, and this is obviously going back the 15 years, but I do remember watching the Falkirk TV highlights of that game and the camera panning to the away end. And John, there must have been about 75 to 100 Falkirk fans there that night. It was really, really small, because it was a midweek game. The team were obviously on a poor run. Not unlike Saturday, Sunday, beg your pardon, when we had nearly 1,400 Falkirk fans in the away end, and it was bouncing.
Yeah, talk me through the atmosphere. What was it like?
It just was buzzing. You know when you travel to a long away game, obviously people have maybe had a few hours on the bus or in the pub beforehand, and
Yeah.
everybody's just jovial. But it was such a huge crowd up there, loads of positives from Aberdeen fans as well. They were saying that one of the biggest, out with the Ugly Sisters, one of the biggest crowds that they've seen, the noisiest that they've seen in a while as well. And I was just see some of the videos on Sunday night and Monday that were coming from. Well, Jamie had taken a good video of after the goal. The Falkirk media guys had been putting out little snippets of video as well, content, and it was just honestly just so loud. Everybody was up for it. I'm sure the team got a massive lift coming out to that as well.
Yeah, 100%. A couple of changes from the side. Henry Cartwright and Arfield in for Aidan Nesbitt and Alfie Agyeman. Shout out to obviously Aidan. Looks like it's going to be 3 months out as well. Big injury for Aidan. But Aidan has his critics, and I don't understand why Aidan can have his critics. He's a workhorse for that team, and he offers so much energy, and he offers a goal threat as well. In that 10 role. But yeah, just gutted to see that Aidan's out because, like I say, even off the bench or from a start, Aidan's offered so much to the club over the last couple of seasons. It's just sad that he's going to miss a big part of the season.
Yeah, no, it is. Hopefully, obviously, as you said, it's another 2 or 3 months out for him. Hopefully, come New Year, he's going to be back fit and gives us another option off the bench, as you said. So, but in terms of the changes, I was really quite chuffed with Cartwright coming in. I thought he did well in the Celtic game at Parkhead. And for the 15 minutes that Scott got at Celtic Park as well, in an odd position, but I thought he did really well.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, the lineup came out, and I was like, we were all kind of going like, "Where's Scott Arfield playing?" Like, it seemed like I was like, "Are they going to pack out the midfield and go narrow, or how are they going to do it?" But Arfield ended up playing on that left line.
Yes, and he did well. He's not got the pace of others on the wing,
No.
obviously. But what we did see is him cutting in when he did. He would come inside as well. But he just brings an experience, a calmness, and really, you want him in the team.
Yeah.
This is why we have Scott Arfield in the Premiership,
Yeah.
and he had a good game.
Would you? I mean, I think that was just him being put there for the sake of being put there. With now the new signings, obviously Wilson and Williams coming in. Do you think he'll fit back into the 10 come St Mirren?
He might do. He's going to have a fight though, because the midfield of Tait, Spencer, and Cartwright worked very well against Aberdeen.
Yeah.
That's all I would say. But I think John has some big decisions to make between now and St Mirren. I think Scotty will be a big player for us this year. Do I think he'll play every game and start every game? No, I don't. But I think for Sunday, I think he was very, very good to have him starting that game.
Yeah, Henry Cartwright, let's just talk a little bit about him before we go through the game. A lot of plaudits for him and
Yeah.
apparently all over the pitch, Ross. You obviously I you saw the game. He was very controlling and dominant in that midfield.
No, he did. Him and Brad absolutely bossed it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was a really good pairing. I know there had been some early criticism in July of could the two of them play together. I think the Celtic game and this Aberdeen game prove that yes, they can. For me, he was all over the park. He broke up the play. He spread the play. His passing, his distribution was superb. And he just genuinely looks as if he's loving life just now. That, other than the Celtic game, I believe that Aberdeen game is probably one of the biggest crowds he's ever played in front of as well. Like, he's played at the Falkirk Stadium full. But normally, these guys play in front of a couple of thousand at most
Yeah.
when they're away from when they're at home with their teams. So, yeah. Brilliant lad so far. Really chuffed for him, and as you said earlier, he's a good looking boy, and the women at the football just absolutely adore him already as well.
I know. I feel
And some
sorry.
men.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the men as well. Listen, we as expected, Aberdeen kind of came out the traps. And it's fair to say, pretty much had the. Well, I think it's more than fair to say he's had pretty much the best of that first half. Scott Bain, again, a lot of critics for Scott Bain, a lot of people calling for Nicky Hogarth to go back into the side, which he eventually did in this match. But Scott Bain showing his class and why he can be such an important player for us this season, Ross.
I'm so chuffed. We have two very, very competent goalkeepers. And I don't know about you, but I see, regardless of who plays, I don't think I would be worried about the goalkeeping situation, regardless of who we have in. In terms of this game, Scott Bain had a phenomenal first half. He
Best in a
really did.
Falkirk jersey so far, yeah.
Best in a Falkirk jersey so far. He did have to make a few good saves against Celtic as well. Obviously, let a few more in against Celtic. But I thought he was terrific in that first half. Some big saves,
The one from
as you've
Keskinen,
said.
I thought especially the one from Keskinen when he got down really low to the left when Keskinen cut in.
Yeah. Not scared to put himself in danger as well. We obviously, there's been a lot of chat about the moment that was offside, and then the play carried on as it's has to with the ruling now. But he obviously got injured in that situation. But he was a brave guy to kind of get himself down and smother the ball.
Yeah, I thought I saw some really good save. I don't think it was an extraordinary save. I don't think, I thought it was really good saves and really competent save from Scott Bain. And like I say, in that first half, it was probably our best player in the park. But we had our chances. I just wish the Brad Spencer effort where they just passed, and it fell to Brad in the
That would have
edge.
been a phenomenal
It would have
goal.
been an unbelievable, we've been talking about that goal of the season. If Brad just a bit more power behind it, meet off obviously was
Meatloaf's a good keeper as well. We
a
need to
very good
remember
goalkeeper.
that. But you're right. Had Brad, the power, I'm not convinced was the issue. It was just that it was so central. I think had he just maybe a foot and a half to the corner, it could have just. I think it would have flown past Meatloaf. But yeah, that was a huge, huge opportunity. It really was.
I mean, not much to write home about. Scott Arfield hit a free kick, which it was that's when you want Ethan Ross on the pitch, isn't it, for those kind of situations. But Scotty just went at the goalkeeper. But Aberdeen, the press, the pushed. I don't think they majorly threatened. Do you disagree with that?
No, I think we defended really well. I know John alluded to it in his post-match interview that we had to at points be really tight defensively and organised, which we were. I never ever thought we were under the cosh. It didn't feel like a wave of Aberdeen pressure. They obviously saw a decent chunk of the ball up until a point. The red card, which we'll talk about in a second, but I think. I never felt really, really troubled. I always thought, for as much as they had the ball and were creating opportunity, we were getting up the park as well.
And let's talk about the red card then. Initially given us a yellow card, Nicky Devlin foul on Calvin Miller, and VAR helped us out. And I mean, it's all going to even itself out over the season.
I'm sure
But
that will.
on looking back at it, I don't think. Obviously, we talked about the Terrace podcast, who seemed to think it was a yellow card and it shouldn't have been reviewed. But you look back at that challenge, he's above the knee and he's at pace. And like he's going the wrong way, from go you know what I mean? He's going the wrong way from goal. Like, so it's a terrible challenge.
What I think's telling, John, is that anyone with a football background or brain has agreed that it's a red card. So what I mean by that is any chatter I've seen about it so far, so Sky Sports VAR do this little thing, all football background, they think it's a red card. Steve, who is on your podcast on a Monday, red card,
And
knows what we're talking about.
Andy Halliday spoke
Andy
about it
Halliday,
on Sports.
red card.
I spoke about
Ty
it.
Ferry, red card. Do you know what I mean? So
And listen, Andy Halliday, and Andy hates, like, obviously, the way Andy Halliday plays football, he really doesn't, has no time for that kind of thing. But he said it's a red card, and he's usually the first that will defend something like that. But he said
as
that
you said,
that.
John, it's not even punting the ball up towards like the way Aberdeen are shooting. It's a vicious, I don't want to
I
say
don't think
a,
it's vicious. I don't think he's meant it. I really 100%. I
do you
think
not? I think he's meant to follow through.
I don't think he's meant it. I just think it's been the pace, and he just felt it's just been one of those things. It's been the pace.
It's
It's the way.
reckless. It's
It is
reckless.
reckless. It's reckless. But I don't think there's been any intention there from the player. But it's just been reckless. It's been at pace. And when you go above the knee, you're at, that's when the red's got to be shown.
Well, the player said it himself. I saw he was interviewed by the Press and Journal, and Devlin said he doesn't obviously agree with the decision. However, what he did agree with is that he gave the referee and VAR something to decide on.
Yeah.
So he's took ownership for it. It cost them to a degree the game. I'm not saying we wouldn't have had the second half that we did, but obviously we did make the most of having the man ad advantage, and why wouldn't we? That's the whole point of having the man advantage, is that you take over control of the game, and we did. It was a game of two halves. Aberdeen probably shaded the first half. We more than shaded the second.
100%. I mean, it came out, the red card meant that John was able to, just because it came before half time, John was able to get into that dressing room at half time and reorganize the team to play against 10, which I think is really, like, is really helpful. Because
Yeah.
obviously then when you've got Cartwright on the park, you've got Spencer on the park, and you've got that Dylan Tate kind of midfield three, and we know
Yeah.
what, you know, the way we play the game, and obviously teams are still kind of, you know, learning how we play, you know, and we're learning how other teams play as well, because it's, you know, first time we've been back here in ages. But with that midfield three, you just feel confident in the way they knock the ball out, the way they probe for space, like you've seen with the Brad Spencer chance in the first half,
Yeah.
and you know, they just seem to get a hold of the ball. And actually looking at possession statistics, and of course Aberdeen were down to 10 men, 62% at Pittodrie for Falkirk in terms of
Yeah,
possession,
massive.
just goes to show you, you know. And again, going back to, you know, 19 shots on target to 12 and 9 shots on target to 4, you know, we really did deserve to win that game. I don't care, you know, if, and I heard, I know, again, going back to the test podcast, they were saying even with 10 men, Aberdeen should be winning that game. It's
No.
just people don't know what Falkirk are and what
No.
Falkirk are about.
But they'll learn, and they'll learn the hard way, because we will prove against them. So I think this week it was Craig. So was it Hearts and a Kamarnock fan? So listen, when we play both these teams, they'll see what Falkirk are all about. And yeah, there's going to be games where we probably have to defend a bit more. Like Hearts at Tynecastle is a tough game, of course it is. But we'll still see plenty of the ball in these games as well. But the second half, it was all Falkirk, John. I'm just surprised it took so long to get there. I thought John did amazingly well with the subs, the timing of the subs. Aberdeen were rattled for the entirety of the second half, but even more so when they
Alfie
subbed
and
in
well,
Alfie, Kyrell.
yeah.
Honestly, it was just, you thought, bloody hell, these boys. And as we said it right at the beginning of the podcast, when Kyrell closed that Aberdeen fullback down, he sprinted across that park. You thought, Jesus, this guy is fast, and he is.
Brilliant. It's something I think, again, we've talked about criticism of maybe a lack of pace on the side, but you feel that these new signings coming in, when you took it
Yeah.
Trey, Kyrell and Williams, you just hope they offer that pace. And judging on certainly Kyrell Wilson, you'll have seen Trey came off bench, obviously with 10 minutes to go, he looked like he's got a bit of pace about him as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they fit in. Obviously Brad Spencer, probably the best chance before Wilson's goal, was the one off the line.
Yes. Yeah, that was it. We obviously had a couple of chances. Scott Arfield bringing out a big save for the goalkeeper with his feet, falls to Keelan, and then Keelan, do you know what? Keelan is a low and hard across the ground guy, but he looked up, saw where Brad was, put in a really good cross, and yeah, Brad was so unlucky that that one got cleared. Obviously, we could have even scored from the ricochet off the clearance as well, off the line.
Yeah, of
You just
course.
felt it was coming. You
Of
felt it was
course.
coming.
Do you know what I love? I love when you talk about that cross where they just kind of put the power up. I love Leon McCann put the cat outside the boot, kind of screw pass, and you know, Keelan, it felt like Keelan Adams who had the shot and goal. But I love that kind of cross to the ball. It just looks so bloody good on the telly.
Does.
The goal came though, but before that we had an injury to Scott Bain. It goes back, I think it was the offside decision, wasn't it, where the put when it was called offside, certainly John McGlynn said that, and they kept playing, and Bain made the challenge, got the
It's
ball,
a shite room. It really is a
broke his
shite
thumb
room.
in the meantime as well.
Yeah. Well, thankfully it's not, thankfully he's just bruised it. So
Right.
Scott Bain is going to be fine for the next game. Should he be picked? Because obviously Nicky did come in and do well. However, thankfully it isn't broken. I hear from someone who was at the golf day on Monday
Yeah.
that had Scott Bain broken his thumb, the club would have signed a goalkeeper
Right.
on Monday. So no, he's thankfully fine. It is a shit rule though, like this playing on, because that just wouldn't have happened. That it was so far offside. Like it's ridiculous that they have to play on until the ball comes to a fin to comes to a finish.
Yeah.
And for Scott to get injured in such a silly thing is brutal. And obviously he's done well to play on, but it's obviously got to a pain threshold where he's just like, I don't want to risk it. And fair play to him because he could have carried on
Yep.
and it could have ended up costing us something. Because it's not as if Nicky came on and did nothing. Nicky did have to hang out at least one save, plus there was a couple of crosses he came for as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and you like to say two great goalkeepers. We all know how good Nicky has been for us over the last couple of seasons. Especially, I thought last season he really upped his game last season. So it's great to have that option and Nicky come off the bench. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I suspect if Scott Bain is fit, he'll start the game,
I think
especially
Scott will
after
too.
that first half display that we go back to. The goal came not long after Nicky came on the bench though, and debut goal, you love to see it. Some nice play, some really nice play around in and around that box. Now it gets a wee nick off the Aberdeen player when the boys are firing about, but Kyle Wilson in the right place at the right time, and a great finish from him.
It was a phenomenal finish and a well taken goal. Really nice move. Taking it right back to the beginning, we won the ball back on that right hand side. Aberdeen should have probably cleared it. That they'll rue not doing that, but we did. We harried them, we hustled them, won the ball back. And then as you said, John, that wee interchange of play with Dylan Tate getting involved, Kyrell there. It was just a really nice move and finish. And I tell you one thing, the away end went mental, like genuinely.
It did look like proper limbs, I have to
When
say.
we talk about limbs, that was what that was. I believe it was from speaking to a Dons fan, it was very loud as well, which you see for the footage too. But I think we deserve to win the game. That goal was fitting of it. As you said, Kyrell scoring on his debut. I watched his interview with Falkirk TV after it. He comes across as a really nice guy as well. And he seems absolutely buzzing to be here. He'll be buzzing that he's got his pal up from Swansea. That'll probably
Yeah,
help him.
that'll help him settle down. I suspect all the young boys will be. I don't know where they're staying or where the club have found digs for them, but I suspect they'll all be in together or rooming with each other, and that hopefully brings them.
Potentially, yeah, potentially. I suppose it depends on their circumstances. Some of them maybe come up with a girlfriend or a partner, or
That's true.
in Sam's cases, he could even be married, who knows? But it's just, I think it topped off a brilliant few days because we had the signings coming in. You're right, there had been that lull after probably the Livy game more so than the Celtic game. And the club were obviously feeling a bit of pressure, or maybe they weren't feeling it, but from the outside looking in, every time the club posted anything that wasn't a sign-in, it was like, where's the sign-ins, blah, blah, blah. So we've got through that. We've made five good sign-ins since last Saturday, and bring on St Mirren.
100%. I love the admin at the end as well. Done and dusted.
That
Excellent.
was good.
I applaud a good pun. I applaud a good pun. But what a sensational, 3 points. We didn't know where those first 3 points were coming from. I didn't expect it to be Pittodrie away. I'll be honest with you. You didn't expect it either, really, Ross, did you?
No, I thought we were good enough to get a draw up there.
Yeah, I thought so.
But brilliant win. And let's take it. Listen, we know we're realistic. We're not going to win every game.
Yeah.
But we need to make the most of the opportunities when we do. And we did that on Sunday.
100%, and I suspect, like myself, you're straight on to Sheepy after the game, who was
I
previewed the
didn't
show.
want to
Did
be
you
that.
know?
I don't know if you did, but
I
I
did. You know
didn't.
what? I let him be because I saw his little sad face in a picture, and I thought, poor laddie.
Yeah, well, I was getting updated by Karen. She was messaging me saying, because she was with Sheepy, and she says, yeah, he's absolutely furious. And she sent me a picture, and his face was like
Yeah, I saw
down.
that picture. I saw that picture. So there you go.
And I thought I'll leave it. So I've until he mentioned it. So he posted something this morning about the game, and I messaged him then, but I've
Oh,
left it
yeah, I was
since
straight on top. I know a good few Dandy Dons. So my
then.
mate Paul Harper, who's a radio
Oh,
presenter is in Canada, straight on to him after the game, with a hello waving emoji. That's all I dropped in. Beth Wallace, who's actually just about to start a show on Radio 1, Beth, who does the big Saturday football show, straight on to her. She says, muted you. And then the stadium announcer, John Mellor, shout out to John as well, who does a smooth radio breakfast. Big dandy, Don. Straight on to him as well. Loved it. Because you don't get these opportunities often.
You don't. No, that's true. Well, as I say, I've never seen us beat Aberdeen.
Take advantage while you can.
John, I do want to give a wee shout out to a young lad. He was about four rows in front of me. Now, where we were sitting on Sunday, we were quite close to the Aberdeen support. So, like, you've got the segregation and then police and then the Aberdeen fans. So there was, you know, it's like when you're close to the away fans, home fans, there's always a bit of banter. Anyway, there's this young lad, he must have been about 7 or 8, right? The ultras start singing, "We know what you are, we know what you are, sheep shagging bastards, we know what you are." And this wee boy is singing every word with such passion, and he's like the closest person to the away ends, and they're all just looking at him going, "This guy's like 7," and he's like, "We know what you are." Phenomenal.
Superb. Let's get a couple of your comments. I actually forgot to put this on our plan, Ross, so I'll just rattle through these. Get a couple of comments. John kicks off saying, all the players who weren't good enough after Livy, how we needed so many signs to even have a small change of staying up. So many people were reacting to one defeat where we were hardly outclassed. Great ovation for Nicky. The whole squad were excellent. It goes back to what we're saying, you know, there was a slight overreaction at Livingston, but yeah. You know. Brendan says, what an away day, even if I did miss the train home. Brilliant performance from everyone, both individually and as a unit. New lads looked excellent. Loved the collective gasp at speed of Wilson's turbo-boosted sprint across the park. That was you, Ross, you know, we need to just say, everyone's like, this guy's fast.
Yeah, and like just the excitement that everything was building.
Yeah. Stuart says, boys dug in first half against the gale force wind. Red card, wasn't too sure we'd have a better second half. But brilliant first half from Bain. Nicky didn't have much to do, but what he did was excellent. Karen, who you spoke about there, scored in every Premier League game in 15 years. We didn't get anything we didn't deserve today. There you go.
So, good story.
Yep, most professional performances, OP Wallace from Falkirk, I've seen in a long time. I've seen that being used a lot, a very professional performance. Time off has done us good, but still need to add to the squad. Hopefully Mr. Wallace is happy with the fact we've added lots more signings now. Chris says, proud to be a Bairn, everyone played their part, but anyone still criticising Scott Bain is due a visit to Specsavers. Kyrell Wilson's pace is frightening, fans were outstanding, and the players matched it as well. Willie Henderson, dad of Liam, says, buzzing like an old fridge. What a performance from every player today. Gave their all and got the just reward. Crisis. What crisis? There you go. FFC is KNZIMA on Twitter. One of the best keeper performances I've seen in a long time. That save to stop the ball heading for the far corner was something special. Two debutants were excellent. Can't wait for the St. Mirren game to see more. There you go. And finally, let's leave it with Sam. Buzzing with the new signings. Henry looked fabulous and was all over the park. Kyriel's pace is brilliant and what a finish by him. And still need time, but Trey looked good. Every player should be buzzing with an individual performance with a huge win on the road. There we go.
Love it.
Great responses from you guys. Thanks very much. Remember, you can drop comments after every match on our social media and we will feature them on the podcast. Just brilliant to have that first 3 points and getting that. Because you know what it's like, Ross, if you don't have that first win, it'll be on your back. It's like, oh, when are Falkirk going to get their first win? But to go into that break now with, you know, 4 points on the board and like everyone in the division appears to have 4 points, including Rangers.
Yeah, and we've still got a game in hand, remember? And if we win that, we'll go third or fourth.
That, exactly. That's one way of looking at it, absolutely. Before we wrap up the show, though, I just want to say thanks very much to our other sponsors, Falkirk Football Fans and Train. Of course, the T8s. You were up at Ness, had a great time. I've not spoke to any of them yet because we'll get all the stories. If any of you are listening, give us all the stories from Ness. There's about to be stories to tell. But listen, if you want to get involved with the team, they're down at the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. And I saw that they've got the over 50 stuff started as well. I saw Dougie McCallum putting up a post about that. So that's great. If you want to get in touch with them and get involved, they're a great bunch of lads. They're making memories through football, been going for like 10 years. Get down, have a laugh, have a day. If you're looking for a bit of fitness, you know, get down, join the boys. Like I say, they've been sponsoring us for 3 seasons now, and they're a great bunch of guys. So all the details are in the links below. And like I say, If you get in now, you might be involved in the inaugural Kelpies tournament. We're still waiting for a message about that. It's very cryptic at the moment, but I'm sure the boys are working behind the scenes on that. But yeah, speak to Ian, Willie, or Doogie. The link is below. Get involved with the Falkirk Football Fans of Training, and we're glad to have them on board. Have we got any other business before we tie a bow on this?
No, I don't think we do.
Shout out to the Falkirk women. They beat Ross Vale 2-1 at the weekend.
Yep, they're doing really well. What a start to the season.
Brilliant.
For the girls.
They're absolutely fine. I need to get down and see them and see them in action. So Anna actually did an interview. I think it was with one of the Twitter. I think it was the Falkirk Stand or Always Falkirk.
Yes, I saw
There's
that.
So many of these Twitter things have just popped up now, and I'm just like, I can't keep up. But I can't remember if it's the Falkirk Stand or Always Falkirk or Falkirk Forever or whatever it was.
But anything Falkirk or whatever it is.
I've seen the interview somewhere, but I'll have to check that
out. I think it was the Falkirk Stand because I saw... they have got a link up with the Falkirk women now.
Great,
so I said, brilliant. Anything that brings exposure to the
100%,
girls
100%
is really good. But no, phenomenal start to the season for them.
Yeah, and the other bit of business I would like to say before we queer up is what the hell are EA Football Club had got Brad Spencer down as like 54 passing, was it?
Yeah, what a fucking joke.
What?
I know.
Who is doing the stats in the FIFA club this? Is Stevie Wonder been hired to do it this season? Jesus Christ almighty. Cannot believe that. Passing 54 for Brad Spencer.
No, that's not
shocking.
Right.
Shocking, that's shocking. Right. Anyway, I'll get that off my chest now. Anything from you?
No, all good, mate. And just looking forward to the rest of the month ahead. Some big games coming up and here for it.
Yeah, we'll be back next Thursday. Obviously, there's not going to be a show on Monday because it's international body break. We're thinking about doing something special as well. Watch this space for a Patreon opportunity and an extra bonus podcast and much, lots of little treats for Falkirk supporters. But we'll give you details on that. That's coming soon. So keep your eyes on that. And we'll be back in this time next Thursday with a preview of the St Mirren game, so looking forward to that. But remember, you can check us out on wherever you get your podcast. You can hear our dulcet tones, but if you want to see our beautiful faces, we're not as beautiful as obviously Henry Cartwright or my new fancy man Hart.
Sam
Hart. Because he's just so new, and I totally slipped my mind what his first name was there.
I thought you were going to throw in some wrestling reference there with Hart.
Amazing! I hadn't even thought of that. From the Hart Dungeon, I can start so much wrestling chat. Are you aware of the word spray of the Hitman Hart, Ross?
Yes. No, yeah. I only through you, though. Like, it's not something.
Owen Hart, the Hart Dungeon, Stu Hart.
Yeah.
You're aware of all that.
Well, did he not give away? Was he always talking about.
Break that in my heart, give away the sunglasses. Yeah, that's the,
that's the
inspiration for the Falkirk Daft armband.
Yes, there we go.
So there you go. Anyway, I'll think more about the Hart family and how Sam Hart can be related. Absolute tangent there about Brett the Hitman Hart. But remember, you can see us on YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Falkirk Daft. You get us there. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. It's where you want to head. I bought my mate a baby girl with Falkirk Daft written on it.
Oh, yes, you did. Yeah,
so I've got that. So you can get all sorts of stuff there. I'm there. And thank you very much to Furry Bairns for sponsoring the podcast this week. Thanks to Rab and all the team over at Furry Bairns. Check them out. Get down to the shop. Like I say, it's down in Stenny and Crown alone. FK53BU. Type that into your sat nav. Get down there. Check out all they've got to offer. And if you want to see it all, furrybairnstreets.com is where you'll see that all. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back here next Thursday to preview St Mirren. But until that time, Ross, Wayne.
Right down, expected, buddy. Everybody. Dream of Alfie Aguirre.
We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. Are Falkirk Daft.